Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Denbigh City Council's annual general meeting, Monday the 30th of October 2017. All persons in attendance are advised that it is Council's policy to record Council's meeting in accordance with Council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact the relevant council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the meeting. Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continual custodians of this land. Welcome to everybody. Anybody who has a mobile phone, would they please turn them off or on to silent, please? Attendance this evening, we have Alderman Emerton, Alderman Jarman, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Milne, Alderman Perry, Alderman Laycock and Alderman Martin. Apologies. Sorry? And Alderman Rockliffe. And we have an apology for Alderman Goodwin. Item 2.1, annual general meeting. Before we get to that, we'll do the statutory requirements. Just hand over to General Manager.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. The statutory requirements for the annual general meeting is that Council must hold its AGM no later than the 15th of December in each year. We are required to publish on two occasions in a newspaper circulating in the area. We did that on the 11th and the 14th of October, advising that the annual report was available and that the AGM would be convened tonight. There is a requirement that a quorum of the council is required to be in attendance at the AGM, and so obviously we've met that requirement, and that only electors in the municipal area are entitled to vote at the annual general meeting. Any resolution which is passed is by a majority of votes. Any resolution passed at the annual general meeting is then to be considered by the council at its next ordinary meeting, and that we are required to keep minutes of the annual general meeting.
Item 2.1, annual general meeting, 24th of October 2016. Do I have a move for the recommendation, please?
So
Alderman Laycock, seconded Alderman Perry. Alderman Laycock?
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Alderman Perry?
Nothing further.
Further speakers? Alderman Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
I put the motion. All those in favour, aye.
Aye.
Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. It's my pleasure to welcome everybody here tonight to the 2017 Devonport City Council Annual General Meeting. Tonight we'll be presenting the Devonport City Council's 2016-17 Annual Report. This comprehensive report provides an insight into Council's achievements over the past 12 months and what the future plans are for the city, as well as information regarding our current financial position. The last year has been a progressive one for Council and the city, especially as we witness the first stage of a living city being realised. Construction of the multi-storey car park, food pavilion and civic building is well underway, and as such we are moving forward with our aspirations to rejuvenate the city and to make it a better place to work, live and visit. This is a unique and exciting time for Devonport as we embark on this period of transformation. Stage one is just the first step, and while there is plenty to be done, we're already looking towards the next stage. Living City is an opportunity for growth economically, socially and culturally. While Living City has been a hub of activity and one of the most significant highlights of the year, we are pleased to report that many other projects have come to fruition in the past year. In September 2016, Council launched the inaugural Festival of Learning with a whole month dedicated to encouraging people to have a go and to learn new things. Over 35 activities were offered as part of the program. We're also very excited to officially launch the Road Safety Bike Park in May, an initiative which was born out of a community vision to allow a safe place for children to ride their bikes whilst also learning their road rules. In a remarkable feat, the popular Sawdust Bridge at the Don Reserve underwent a complete makeover as the old bridge was demolished to make way for a new, locally made single-span aluminium bridge. Further enhancement was made to the Mersey Bluff area with a new all-abilities outdoor fitness area installed along the walking track. We're also proud to have Council's ongoing commitment to developing a learning community recognised by receiving the 2017 Delivering Excellence Larger Councils Award from the Local Government Association of Tasmania. There is little doubt that a lot of progress has been made in Devonport during the last year, and there is still plenty more to come, and the future does look very bright for our city. Thank you to my fellow aldermen, the General Manager and staff for your courage and continued commitment to our city. It has been a very productive 12 months and we are proud of the project progress that has been made. This is an exciting time for Devonport and we look forward to what the future has in store. With that, I now introduce the General Manager to provide some annual report highlights.
Through Mr. Mayor, there is a presentation that we'll provide which outlines the highlights of this year's annual report.
Thank you. Item 3.1, the annual report. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Alderman Jarman. Seconded. Alderman Milne. Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. First of all, my congratulations to all the staff involved in this report. The hard work that's done by the staff is overlooked so many times, and I just want to acknowledge that, and it is much appreciated, certainly on our end. They make our job a lot easier. It's not easy at all times to learn so much and have to read so much, and I just know that that report has had a lot of blood, sweat and tears put into it. I'd like to acknowledge also, I want to thank Council for helping the ferry this year, because it's very nice, the small ferry, the little ferry. It's been nice to keep that on the water, and I think that's been acknowledged by a lot of people out there. And also the support in getting the little bike park up and running over at East Devonport has been great as well. And I'd just like to say that I look forward to the future from this report. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Mill.
Yes, I have to agree with Ali on that one. Fabulous job from all the staff of the council this year. And I agree that there has been a lot of blood, sweat and tears put into it. I particularly like the way that this council moves towards community engagement. So we have lots of activities that bring the community in for instance, the learning, the books for children, all of those education programs. I just think it's a fantastic opportunity and, good job. Thanks.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'd like to congratulate General Manager and senior staff for putting the document together. It makes our council very open and very transparent because it's easy to read. Anybody getting a copy of this or having a look online can read and see exactly what we do, and that's very important. And I'd like to refer to page 9, which is our mission, vision, values. And if you look down under the organisational vision, it says the evaluation...
Yeah, your microphone, please.
Oh, sorry. Gone off. Yep. Valuing the past, caring for the present and embracing the future. And that's exactly what this council has done under the great leadership that we have and the aldermen around the table to look for future opportunities. And to me, that's what we've done with Living City. And also, if you go down to the organisational values, it says here we embrace a future of equity and leadership founded on respect. And that's something we do have within our council. Professionalism and integrity to ensure that we make the strategic decisions not just for today but for tomorrow. And a lot of us are not going to be here for many years, I'd hate to say that, to either in the position or to be in on this earth to be able to see lots of things that do come from this. So I think it's a great move. I'd also like to just note the auditor's report where he says in the second paragraph that in his opinion the accompanying financial report presents very fairly in all our respects council's financial position as at the 30th of June. And then it goes on to say, of course, that's in accordance with the local government and Australian accounting standards. So when you get a report from the auditor, Mr. Rod Whitehead, like that, if you read that report, it's very good. So I think we've done well. And after having a look at the General Manager's presentation, we know what's happened during the year. But when you see it all pulled together like that, it makes you very proud that you've been honoured by the ratepayers of Devonport to present, to represent them and be on this council to make those decisions come to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd just like to endorse the comments of the previous speakers and congratulate the General Manager and his team on another fantastic result for the 2017 year. I guess at the end of the day, council should be judged on its results. We've had 4 years of no aggregate rates rise for the community. We've progressed the fantastic Living City project to the stage where it's at a very visual stage now, and that's going to continue to roll out in the next few months. And that's been a real milestone and an achievement from everyone involved. And I guess at the end of the day, everyone will have an opinion on whether council's doing a good job, bad job, or whatever. But results are results, and we have, the aldermen and the staff, have done a fantastic job for this city, and I hope we continue to do so. irrespective of some of the negativity that we're facing from time to time. So congratulations to everyone, and let's move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Emmerton.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I agree with the three previous speakers. I think the council staff are always amazing. They're helpful, professional, diligent, open, and definitely show a care for our whole community. I think the council has continued to maintain a great balance, whereby we obviously have a significant investment in Living City that is progressing well, and just been amazed with the continual comments from ratepayers about the positivity and the vibe that's happening. We've had smaller investments in different parts of our community that's assisted businesses to continue to grow. And I think also we have a significant balance that we've continued to care for our community and providing lots of what would have been considered community activities, e.g. the learning aspects, and there's been a plethora of them this year. I think we actually get a really good balance that we can do what I see community as everyone in business, and the people in it are one, whereas some people see community and business as being separate. But I think we've actually got a really good balance, and I'm very proud of being part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yes, look, I agree with everything that's been said by previous speakers. I think we're at the stage, things are progressing extremely well. You only have to look at the improvements of things have actually occurred, with stage one well and truly on its way and reasonably well to budget. So we're happy with that. Certainly congratulate the general manager and the staff for the way it's being handled. And it certainly is a great benefit to this community. What's happening now has not happened before. Devonport is now going to move into another era with the Living City project particularly, and the confidence in our community is increasing with increases in development approvals and private investments. So I think congratulations to everybody for where we're at, and we look forward to the next year with the certainly stage one opening up, and everyone will benefit from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers? No. I note with the attachments there are five submissions from the public. In the agenda, the submissions are reproduced as well as the responses to those submissions. So they're in the agenda, should the public wish to read them. I'd like to also thank the General Manager and staff for the hard work they've been doing, and also congratulate the Alderman and the work that you do. It's not easy going out in the public. You're not going to please everybody every time. It's about reading, it's about researching, and it's about putting your best foot forward for the best decision that we can make for our community and moving it forward. Over the decades that have gone past, Devonport has always been referred to as a backwater. Nothing happens in Devonport. And now, in the last 5 years, we've taken the bold step of rejuvenating our CBD, looking to increase our employment opportunities. And as we can see around the town at the moment, that the empty shops that were about 4 years ago are now being filled up, even before the completion of stage one of Living City, which provides additional employment and productivity in our city. I think what we've done is certainly courageous. We've been complimented by state government and federal government, as well as other councils around the state, and the work that we've been doing and in leading, in some cases, the state. So congratulations to everybody involved, even those who have provided submissions. I believe that everybody has an opportunity to question council, It actually helps keep council alert as to what the community is thinking, what they may be lacking in knowledge that we can provide about our decision making, etc. And I think that's a very healthy environment that we can move into. But it has to be constructive. There's no point being negative. It has to be constructive. Constructive so we can actually move on and do something positive for our community. And in saying all that, I'll now ask Alderman Jarman to close.
Well, for the year, let's consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, aye.
Aye.
Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. We now move into the public question and comments motions time. Only electors in the municipal area are entitled to vote at an annual general meeting. And a motion at an annual general meeting is passed by a majority of votes taken by a show of hands or by any other means of ascertaining the vote the council determines. A motion passed at an annual general meeting is considered at the next meeting of council. In this time, it's in accordance with our public question time policy, which means that we have a maximum of 2 questions per person permitted. A maximum period of 3 minutes will be allowed per person. And if time permits, a third question may be asked once all the community members who wish to ask a question have done so. A time limit of 2 minutes will apply. In total, we have a 30-minute session for the public questions and comments. So with that, I open up to the floor. If any member of the public or would like to step up to the microphone and ask a question, make a comment, or perhaps move a motion.
Thank you, Mayor Martin. My name's Douglas Janney, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. Before I ask my question, just a comment. I think 30 minutes for an annual meeting may not be enough. Having said that, we will go to my question on page 19 of the annual report. There's a table there, operating expenses, the last item, internal charges and recoveries. The comment at the bottom of the page says the actual time spent on capital projects was 21% lower than anticipated. This is allocating staff time for capital works. On page 21, in the middle of the page under liquidity position, while cash balances decreased by $850,000 during the year due to increased capital expenditure, the balance remains well in excess of the minimum requirements. These two comments seem to be at loggerheads. Less people spending more money. Please explain.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the internal charges, the reduction in the work undertaken in capital projects. At the beginning of the year, we try to ascertain how much of the capital works would be done internally with the internal workforce and how much will go out to contract. What is meant by that particular comment there is that there was a larger amount of the capital program that A, went out to contract, but also there was a number of projects that, as you'd be aware, were carried forward and some of those would have impacted on that percentage that has been identified there as being lower than what was originally anticipated. The liquidity position on the other page, that is directly taking us back to the financial management strategy, talking about the minimum cash that council has decided it wishes to maintain. And basically, although that the cash balance has decreased by $850,000, the total cash at the end of the year was, Kim? $16.1 million. We're certainly well within the minimum threshold the council has set itself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jenny. Anyone further from the gallery? Gentleman over the back.
Don Willing, 171 Winspears Road. Question to the Mayor. We now know that ratepayers have paid the company managing the Living City project $3.3 million to the end of 2016-17 financial year, with more to come. In the 2016-17 financial year, the payment was almost $2 million alone. When asked if the spike in payments to P&I was paid because it paid contractors, you said no. The engagement with P&I has required them to carry some costs with payments not due until project commencement. Will you please explain to ratepayers the nature of the major parts of these carry forward costs?
Under council's contract with P&I, some of the stage one consulting fees were not payable until the commencement of stage one works. Mr. Worthing. Is there anybody else who would like to step up and ask a question?
Peter Stegman, 118 River Road, East Devonport, ratepayer. Noticed Alderman Hamilton mentioned about the council being open and transparent in his speech there a moment ago. I hope you can answer this question. On November the 8th, 2015, the lead consultant of P&I, council's non-tendered appointed Living City Development Manager, stated in the Advocate that six hotel groups had already approached him to build on the Harris Scarf site. Then on October the 17th this year, almost 2 years later, the Mayor announced that the Council had received submissions from both developers and operators as part of the expressions of interest process for the hotel. My question is, will the Mayor please tell ratepayers precisely how many expressions of interest were received from the hotel developers, and if council can provide any guarantee that the selected developer will build the hotel?
There was six expressions of interest received by council, and council has appointed Fairbrothers as the exclusive right to develop a team for that development to be built. And that goes for 2 years.
I think the last part of my question says, are there any guarantees that it's going to be built, that the developer is going to build it?
We've passed that responsibility on to Royce Fairbrother, who's got a two-year exclusivity to develop a team to get the development up and going.
So we might waste another 2 years and nothing might happen?
Well, that's an opinion I suppose anybody could have, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure Council does, they were quite confident that this will develop and be achieved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would have been nice to know how many developers we got expressions of interest from. Malcolm Gardam for...
Is that a question, Mr Gardam?
No, it'll be a question later.
Okay, well, I suggest, so that you ask your question.
Yep, Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindetta. Question one. On July the 16th, 2016, Mr Atkins, the Council's Deputy General Manager, being responsible for the Living City project, was quoted in the Advocate stating, an announcement was likely in 2 months about restaurant operators at the 4 food pavilion sites. Over a year later, and despite Council having repeatedly named Southern Wild Distillery, Ben Milburn Restaurant, Cooking School and Film Studio and 41 Degrees South, since confirmed in the Advocate as withdrawn as the first tenants for the food pavilion, Council is still refusing to confirm that any of the above-mentioned entities are secured tenders under lease agreements. Accordingly, would Mr Atkins explain why some 15 months after his statement he is unable to provide this information to ratepayers?
Thank you. I'll refer to Matthew Atkins.
Yeah, through you, Mr Mayor. Certainly back in July 2016, that was the direction Council was heading, but as you're aware, since that time, Council entered into a head lease for the operation of the food pavilion. Council's been very open in the fact that we have an agreement with the company to manage that that facility. That's based on minimising our exposure and Council's exposure and risk. And we have a contract with them, which and subletting of tenants is their business, as we've previously advised. So there's nothing further to add.
I figure that's the official answer, and it would be very embarrassing if you had no secured lease arrangements in place yet. But you don't want to refute that, you don't want to rule it out, so we'll leave it thinking you don't actually have any lease arrangements for individual tenants in place.
No, question Mr. Gardam, we have a head lease with a company that's their responsibility.
That's very convenient, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
It certainly is when we talk about the risk exposure for Council, which we would be remiss of us not to take the best option for the safety and risk of Council. Get on with your second question. Yeah,
that's question, the risk involved in the lease that you've arranged. But question two. Council has repeatedly told ratepayers that the food pavilion and the 800 delegate conference facility are the two catalysts fundamental to the success of the entire Living City project. This being the case, will the Deputy General Manager please provide ratepayers with answers to the following? A. Why did Council not commission any independent quantitative demand studies for either of these catalysts, given they were critical to the success of the Living City project?
Yeah, through you, Mr Mayor. Again, the question there has probably taken Council out of context. Stage one has been held up as the catalyst for future stages of Living City, not specifically the conference centre and the food pavilion, as you state. That catalyst being that it allows Harris Scarfe and other and council and the link to move for the freeing up of land for future development, hence the catalyst aspect. Having said that, yes, the council absolutely believes the conference centre and the food pavilion and the hotel and all of those aspects combined are what will deliver the success of Living City.
Makes it very difficult for stage one to be viable in its own right through the revenue from the conference centre and the food pavilion, because that was also a statement of council. Second part of that is B, what are the council's forecast numbers of overnight stay delegates who will utilise the conference facility in years 1 to 3 of the operation, and where will they stay? Assuming that we're not going to have a hotel until 2021-22, something like that. So how are we going to utilise our conference centre in those 3 years? How many overnight stays are we looking for, and where are they going to stay in the interim?
Can I just clarify, Mr Mayor, the first part of the question was, can you just repeat the...
Oh, sorry.
The first part.
What are Council's forecast numbers of overnight stay delegates who will utilise the conference facility in the first 1 to 3 years of operation?
Okay, yeah. And that was following on from your question about the modelling and not breaking even.
Yeah, operating and revenue coming from the conference centre to pay for Living City being viable in its own right.
You're right, if I can answer the question, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
The funding model hasn't changed. Council's been open and transparent with that. It's factored in a phased-in approach with the conference centre from day one. The take-up, I think, was in the order of 25% of optimum usage in the first year, increasing through to year five. So there's been no change in those projections, and council's been quite open with its funding model and transparency with the financing of stage one.
Okay. And where are they going to stay until the hotel's built to be able to utilise it, even starting at 25% in the first year and running through? So,
look, I guess in factoring in that there's a going to be a slow take-up with the or slower take-up, that is considering that there's only so much accommodation around at the moment. So just like we've just seen with the Masters Games, there'll be we'll work with what we've got. But at the meantime, Council's doing all it can to progress a new hotel in Devonport.
Perhaps B&B's coming online. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the gallery that would like to...
Graham Jones, Barclay Motor Inn, 112 North Fenton Street. Can I move a motion?
You may.
I'd like to move a motion that Council release the secret in-confidence report used for the financial viability of the new hotel. And I make that motion on the basis now you've established who's going to operate it. You've had all your tenders. I think it's now fair for the existing operators, accommodation owners, to have the same information and heads up and restore it to a level playing field, as in open and transparent. And that's my motion.
Thank you. Would the seconder like to make a comment? On the motion?
Just very briefly, I think it is time that it be released. It's been held in confidence. There's a couple of things relating to that report about demand. Council's made a statement in question 8 of its waterfront precinct document that it, how do we know that there is demand for a 150 to 200 room hotel? You then referred as a council to the original Haworth HTL report, which contains no such thing, but does contain no less than 10 serious qualifications. So we're assuming all of that information is in the second report, which is being held confidential. I think it's time, so I support the motion that it should be released in openness and transparency.
Thank you. Do I have somebody you'd like to speak against the motion?
No, I'd like to speak for it.
Yeah. I'm after somebody who would like to speak against the motion. Alderman Rockliffe?
I'd simply like to say that we've discussed this possibility at length, and I certainly have no qualms about continuing to maintain the incompetence nature of the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody for the motion?
Yes, Bob Mellicott, 11 Cocker Place. Yes, I'll speak to the motion. I thought that putting that particular report in, branding it commercial in confidence, and could only be shown to potential developers or those who are interested in managing the hotel. When it was discussed at council and in the agenda, it more or less said, well, it did say that they were frightened, or more or less words to that effect, it would be cherry picked. Now, to say that and imply that to one of a larger ratepayer in Devonport, I think that was damn insulting, if I might put it in those words. It was outright insulting to the intelligence and to the integrity of other hoteliers, motel owners around this town. Council maintains it has been so open and transparent in all this living city. Well, I'll leave it up to the members in the gallery here on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody against the motion? Alderman Jarman or Alderman Evington?
May I speak about it?
For or against?
For.
I'm after against.
Okay.
Alderman Evington.
Thank you. Mayor, we're still in the process of this whole development and moving towards. We know that we've given a contract to Fairbrothers for the development of it, but we're still in that process, and that information, I think, is still valid, because what I'm hearing is that I don't think some people that are present with us tonight actually understand that this is creating a new market, and it's not going to be in opposition to the existing people that provide wonderful accommodation in Devonport. This is a new market, and I believe that we do not want to jeopardise the potential communication between Fairbrothers and operators that have shown clear interest in managing the hotel in the future. And so I would be opposing the motion for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you. For the motion, Alderman Jarman.
I certainly have no problem with it being released. I think it's done its job, and we've obviously moved forward, and I have no issue whatsoever with that report, seeing that I've read it myself. And it was also been offered by you to somebody outside of this realm privately before for them to read it personally. So I don't see the problem with it at all. I'm certainly for the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Against? Autumn Laycock.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd just like to mention that the mover of this motion, Mr. Jones, did say that I don't know how much got on there. It just keeps turning itself off. So that's the reason I'm not voting for the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for? You're the seconder, so if you've got a question? Thank you. Anybody else for the motion? One moment, please, Mr. Malcolm. Right. If there's no one else, I'll ask Mr. Jones to close, please. Consider it closed. Now, the voting will be, if you're for the motion, please raise your right hand. And we'll get somebody to count. Those against?
Sixteen.
Motion is carried. Anybody else from the gallery?
Bob Vellacott, ratepayer, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport, Tasmania. Mayor, I hereby move that we, the electors and ratepayers of Devonport here present at the 2017 Devonport City Council Annual General Meeting, move a motion of no confidence you and the council, with the exception of Alderman Alison Jarman, who has been the only alderman to show any concern in the following, what I'm going to read out. This is in relation to the oversight, conduct and administration of the Livingston
Before you go any further,
project.
Mr. Vellacott, we'll need a seconder for the motion.
Do we have a second?
Mr. Gardam. Please, I'll start again or continue.
The reason for this motion is as follows. the failure of council to exercise appropriate levels of due and care, duty of care in regards ratepayer consultation, due diligence, risk mitigation and full transparency associated with approving the allocation of $11 million of ratepayers' cash reserves and an additional $39 million in borrowings for the Living City project to proceed when none of the private investment council claimed would be forthcoming, materialised and other actions by council. Supporting evidence to this assertion is council's failure to tender the Living City project management contract and the appointment of a company and project director, not necessarily the most proven in delivering urban renewal projects of the equivalent size, scale and complexity to that of the Living City. Two, council's failure to undertake the comprehensive business case studies required by the consultants Hill PDA to validate their estimates of 830 new CBD ongoing full-time direct jobs. I'll repeat that, 830 new CBD ongoing full-time direct jobs and significantly more indirect jobs and $112 million of economic output annually. Despite repeatedly and unambiguously communicating to ratepayers that these outcomes justified the appropriation of approximately $50 million in ratepayers' cash reserves and additional borrowings for Stage 1 of the Living City project. Three, council's failure to ensure ratepayers' interests were fully protected by entering a non-tendered confidential 10-year $4 million food pavilion head lease with the connections of the lead project consultant without council having any knowledge of the fact that the issued paid-up capital of the lessee company was a minimal $20,000 or 0.5% of the contract value, thereby placing ratepayers at significant risk in the case of default. Four, council's failure to act in the best interests of ratepayers, who presented with a message to the alderman signed by more than 1,500 members of the community expressing concerns at the viability of the Living City project and the prospect of massively increasing ratepayers' indebtedness. Responses to the actions ratepayers requested of their representative included: council does not believe that further independent risk management assessment is required. Council will not be conducting an elector poll. And council intends to finalise the funding model by borrowing up to an additional $39 million. Council then went on to spend, I think it was $10 million in retaliatory advertising. Ladies and gentlemen,
10 million.
Ratepayers are now fully responsible for $39 million loan and are exposed to the real possibility of increased rates and or reduced services in the future. Instead of being protected, they have been let down by council members who are paid by ratepayers to provide proper and diligent care in their decision making. Council is on record as stating, financial risks with Living City are significant. Council risks enormous reputational damage if the master plan is not implemented. Obviously, they, the Mayor and Aldermen, have no concern for ratepayers, just their own reputations, and it is for this reason listed that I have moved this motion of no confidence. Mayor, as this is a motion of no confidence in Council as outlined above, it would, I suggest, be impertinent at this time for you and others who are mentioned in this not to vote on same. I therefore request the Secretary of the meeting to record same and include all of the above in the minutes of this meeting and the meeting of the December 2017. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gardam.
It's regrettable that after questioning council since March 2016 on its management of Living City and being presented with a reluctance to answer serious questions and provide demonstrated evidence substantiating its representations to ratepayers, and there are many, that's not part of what I prepare, but there are many representations that you as a council have made to ratepayers. You have not been prepared to back them up, a la secured tenants. You're happy for people to run with that and believe that there are secured tenants. That's been going on for 15 months. You won't make a simple statement that those people mentioned are secured tenants. The hotel developers, we were told six wanting to build back in 2014, I think it was. You won't confirm that you actually got one, two, three developers or six developers. All you'll do is fudge around and say six developers, operators. So is it five operators and one developer? You won't say. So when I say and provide demonstrated evidence substantiating your representations to ratepayers, I'm afraid you fail on that front, and I have determined, and that's how I've determined to second this motion. I fully concur with the statements presented by Mr. Vellacott, and that is why I shall support the motion.
Thank you. Speakers against the motion, Alderman Emerton.
Thanks, Mayor. Mayor, whilst I'd acknowledge that we don't get everything right or perfect in everything we do, there's no organisation on the face of this earth, unless it's only got one member, will ever, ever get all its members to agree and to accept every decision that it makes. I hear the challenge of the voices, but I must correct both of them, is we do listen. We listen to those voices, and we do, in our private conversations, have great discussions about it. But we also listen to the voice of the majority. And time again, different people, not the same two or three, but different people are saying to me, two in fact, this last week, one person is putting on two new staff members. Another is completely renovating their shop. And they said quite strongly, the only reason they're doing so is because of Living City. Living City, the project, has enlivened our business sector. It has stirred many in our community to believe that finally there is a hope, there is something for our city to live for. Our kids don't have to go away and live elsewhere. And we can live in an economic doldrum, if you like, but I choose not to. I choose to believe that what we are doing in Living City is the right thing, and I believe with every fibre of my being, every fibre of my being. And whilst, yes, I hear voices of negativity and questioning, but I hear the majority, and I made a commitment when I was to come on council, if I was successful at becoming on council, that I would listen to the majority and I would vote at what was best for Devonport. I hear the voices behind me, but they are not the voices that are the best for our city. They are not the voices that are going to lead us out of an economic doldrum. And we are seeing the evidence, and it isn't finished yet. We must always look for evidence. Forensic scientists, policemen, always look for evidence. Doctors look for evidence in people's bodies. We only got to start to look at the evidence that's starting to seep now. And I think if we look at the evidence, we must be convinced that the decisions that have been made around this table by this Board of Management for our city is the right direction. I cannot support this motion. I cannot be in favour of that motion. And that is not just patting myself on the back at all and to be asked to stand aside. That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. We're talking about 830 jobs. We're talking about the future. That no one said that was going to happen in year one, two or three. It was a 15 to 20 year vision. We must hold strong for that vision to come to pass. Otherwise, it could lapse. It could fall over. But strong leadership is what's required. As aldermen, we have been chosen humbly. We are humbled by being chosen by the people of our city to lead our city and to make decisions on behalf of our city. If every time we had to go back to the ratepayers and say, can we build this footpath, can we do this, can we do that, what chaos would that be? We've been called to leadership, and leadership we have shown, and leadership is what's required in today's modern world. And I'm so proud to be part of a wonderful group of people that have shown leadership and direction to give life to our city for its future. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Anybody else for the motion? For the motion? Oh, no, it's for the motion.
Oh, for the motion.
I have one more against the motion. Against? No?
I'm confused. Yes, I do want to speak against the motion.
Correct.
Because, I'm sorry, I was a little bit confused there. It's Alderman Emmerton's speech was excellent. It's really hard to add anything to that because he's very passionate and he says what we all want to say. All probably I can say, and I've wondered for over 12 months now, is why has so much negativity and time been put into this? If all these people that sit in the gallery that come every week were positive, look at what a fabulous city we'd have. I mean, it's just going on and on. It's ridiculous. Go out and do something. Volunteer. Do some other things in the community. Work with your elected members and your council staff, because that's what it's all about. And like Alderman Emmerton, I'm very proud to be here. Yes, move a motion of no confidence on us. That's the way life is. It's a democratic society. Won't change my thinking, I can tell you, and I'll just continue to work for why I was elected, and that is the people of Devonport. And you can murmur in the background in the public gallery. I don't mind. Talk to me face afterwards. I also don't mind. But I know this council is on the right track, and I'm proud to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any auto-mail?
Yeah. This is against the motion as well. Is that okay?
Mr. Chair, do I move the motion to put?
I have auto-mail at the moment. You can wait until after auto-mail.
So I came on council 18 months ago and the Living City was very much underway. I signed on and the furniture was being moved across the road to this building. The one thing that I need to have on this council as a newbie is faith. Faith that our general manager, that all these people at the front have got our backs. These people are doing their financial due diligence to make sure that this Living City gets up and going. We not only have the support of the council, we have federal funds as well. Federal funds, state funds. There are three levels of government involved in this program. To these knockers all the time to be saying, oh, it's not going to work, you know, henny penny, the sky is falling. We just need to get over it. It's going ahead. Get on board and be supportive of our city. We all live here. We need to be collaborative and work together.
Further comments? Alderman Mr. Bellicott to close.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, sir. Yes, we do believe that council should, with proper due diligence, before borrowing that amount of $39.40 million, could have given a bit more consideration to the ratepayers in as much as letting them at least have a poll. Yes, it is very impressive is what is going on there. But how many times are you reminding ratepayers that they do have a $39 million debt hanging around their neck for how long? Goodness knows. Well, I'll conclude with that there. Will you be asking the aldermen and other council members to vote on this subject? Will they be voting?
I'll be calling on the residents of the municipality, yes. Which is their right.
Their right. Thank you.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Mayor. May I have a word with the General Manager privately?
No. The motion's been put. It's been closed. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your right hand. Those against, raise your right hand. Motion is lost. As the time has expired for question time, we've overrun by 10 minutes. I declare the meeting closed. Thank everybody for their attendance. Meeting closed at 6:34.